The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of James. We are still in the first chapter. We're in James 1. We're going to start in verse 22, go to verse 25. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we'll kind of talk about it for a little bit. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing." Father, we praise you for your word. You say your word will not return void. And we believe that. Help us, Father, to hear it and to do it. Amen. How many of you have ever wanted to be a superhero? Now, I know everyone has dreamed when they were a kid of being a superhero. You know, Superman, Batman or The Flash. And there seems to be, Wonder Woman. Yeah, I've never wanted to be Wonder Woman. Oh, okay. I'm glad we got that figured out. The thing is that today our society is fixated on superheroes. I mean, look at the Marvels, the Marvel comics, how Stan Lee has like fostered that into a movie mega empire. And now DC is coming along beside. They're trying to get their part into it. We all want to be a superhero. We all want to be a hero. Unfortunately, most of us are not heroes. At least, not that kind of hero. But we can be a hero. We can be a superhero. We can be a faith action hero. We've been talking about James. James last week was telling us how we're supposed to approach the Word of God. And he continues on in these verses. And he talked about how you have to be meek. And believe it or not, superheroes are to be meek. We talked about what meekness is. But we need to look at the Word. We need to look at how the Word, because remember, it's not me speaking that saves anybody. It's the Word of God getting into the heart and the Holy Spirit changing them and the Holy Spirit moving them and the Holy Spirit changing their lives, and they become a believer in Christ because of the Word of God. Now, hearing of the Word is very essential. It is essential that people hear the Word of God. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching?" If we don't preach the Word, nobody's going to hear it. If a preacher is preaching in the woods and there's nobody to hear it, is he really preaching? I don't know. But we got to understand that hearing of the Word is not enough. It's not enough just to hear the Word. I mean, you could sit and you could listen. You can listen to a lecture. We could sit in here today and you could be nodding your head and agreeing with everything I'm saying. But I want to tell you something. It's useless if you go out today and it doesn't change your life. It doesn't, if what we say, if what you agree to in Scripture does not change your life, it's worthless. I mean, this is the kind of hearer who goes like a hummingbird. You know, have you ever watched a hummingbird? Boom, they go to a flower, they suck in that one. Boom, they go to the flower, they suck in that one. And they're all over the place. That's the kind of hearer that just hears the Word and doesn't make any difference in their lives. See, God wants listeners. His whole point of the Word and you hearing it is so that you would become a disciple. And what does a disciple do? A disciple does what the master does. They do things. An obedient follower of Jesus Christ is what God wants when He sends out His Word. Romans 2:13 says, "For it is not hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." It's not just those that hear who are justified. It's those that do that are justified. Hearing is essential, but it's not the end all. Knowing the Word, it's important that we know the Word. We've got to teach people the Word, right? We have Bible studies. We have, in small group, we talk about the Word. We talk about it all the time. But knowing it isn't enough. Charles Spurgeon, a theologian from a few years back, says, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise." I've known a lot of people who know a lot that are not very wise. "Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom." The Pharisees, they knew about the Word. They knew the law. But what good did it do them? It puffed them up. They did nothing with it. They used it for their own gain. You and I, we could know the speed limit, right? We could know the speed limit. But you know, if we're caught speeding, well, Your Honor, I knew that was the speed limit. That's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Just because you know it, you have to obey it. It takes obedience. One of the biggest problems I think in the church today is that we've grabbed on this whole idea of believing the Word. If you just believe, all it takes is to believe it, right? Believing is important. Romans 5:1-2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith," faith justifies us, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." It is by faith we have been saved. Okay? It does save us. It's important. The problem with it is that we focus on faith only. Faith alone is not enough. James goes on later to tell us in verse 24, he says, "You see, that person is justified by works and not by faith alone." This is one of the reasons why most people don't like James, because James says, "Well, wait a minute, faith is important, but you also have to act on it, because that's how you prove that you have faith, is by acting on it." We need to do God's Word. We need to be faith action heroes. We need to be faith action heroes. And that's what James is telling us. He says in verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." What James is telling us is continue to be doers. Can progressively be doers. Don't just, it's not like I'm a doer now and I stop. I'm progressively becoming a doer. Constantly. Keep on becoming one. We need obedience that lasts. We can't be this, sunshine only Christian. You know, I'm obedient to God as long as things are good. The minute things go bad, though, I'm kind of wishy-washy. We can't do that. We need to be obedient. We need obedience that lasts. It's this kind of obedience that we need to demonstrate that we believe and that we have a commitment to Jesus Christ, because obedience is action. Obedience is actually action. And now, I want to say, I understand. There is no Christian here who has perfect obedience. We all make mistakes. We all stumble and fall. It's okay. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But see, if I'm a true follower of Christ, if I want to be a doer of the Word, that means when I stumble, when I fall, it hurts me. I'm upset about it. It bothers me. And I want to do God's will. I'm desiring God's will. And I want to obey Him. And it grieves me when I fail. Chuck Swindoll has a great story that he tells. I want to share it with you. A great example of this. Let's say that I am owner of a multinational company. That's our office, by the way. I'm the owner, and you work for me, and the business is doing great. It is doing awesome. And we're deciding that we're going to expand in Europe. So I tell you, listen, I bring you into my office, say, listen, we need to expand in Europe, but I need to be there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go away for a while. I'm going to take my family with me. We're moving to Europe. I want you to run this place. And what I'll do is I'll send you periodic emails telling you what I want you to do. Okay? And you do what I tell you, and everything will be great. So I take my family, we move to Europe, and everything's going great in Europe. It's business is growing, it's being blessed, and I keep sending you messages constantly. This is what's going on here, this is what I'd like for you to do. Well, 9 months into this whole endeavor, I decide to come back. I'm in the area, I want to stop in and see how you're doing. So I walk up to the building, and the grass hasn't been mowed. And the parking lot's a mess. And I walk in, and there's like nobody at the front desk to greet anybody who's coming in. And I see half of the employees are, you know, got their feet up on their desk. They're really not doing much. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I walk in, and I find you, and you're back. You are back in what used to be in my office, which is now the TV room. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean what's going on? Well, I sent you messages. He said, oh, yeah, we got those messages. They were great. What we did was every Friday night we got together and we talked about your messages. And guess what? What is amazing is that some of the people, they even memorized some of the lines from it. And I got, there's like one person here, he memorized your whole message, your whole note. And we talked about it, and it was great. But I said, well, wait a minute, but you didn't do it. Oh, you wanted us to do those things. We need to be doers. God has sent us the messages. And we're not doing it. We're talking about it. We're getting together, having great Bible studies about it. The church has not done it. If we're not doers of God's word, we're deceiving ourselves. I love that picture. That is the quintessential picture of deceiving yourself. That's me. I look at myself and think, that's what I look like. I think I look like I did back when I was 20 in my head. I'm deceiving myself. See, it's been said that if you deceive somebody else, you're wicked, but you're smart. If you deceive yourself, you're wicked, but you're stupid. If you deceive somebody else, you're wicked and you're smart. If you deceive yourself, you're wicked and you're stupid. Now imagine what the devil is thinking when God's people are deceiving themselves. He's like, guys, come here. They're doing all my work for me. I don't have to do anything. James goes on. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he looks like. This hypothetical man, he starts out good. He's looking. He's looking at the word of God. He sees it. He sees his natural face. He sees who he really is. He's a sinner that needs Christ. And I'll tell you, every single one of us, when we look in the mirror, when we look into God's word, we see we are a sinner who needs saved. Everyone. Whether they are in downtown Austin or whether they are in the mountain villages of India. If they look in the mirror, if they look into the word of God, they see, that's who I am. I'm a sinner who needs Jesus. He looks at the mirror. He sees his face. And the more he looks, the more he sees. And that mirror, like I said, is the word of God. And when we look into it, we see who we really are. Because Hebrews says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God pierces you, shows you who you are, and it tells you how to be what God wants you to be. But see, the problem with this man who looks into the mirror is that he walks away and he acts like nothing's wrong, like there's no difference. That's the one who deceives himself. He sees himself in the mirror. He looks at his natural face. He walks away. He forgets what he looks like. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like? This man does that. We do that many times. Sometimes we, as believers, we glance into the mirror of truth. And we don't let God's wisdom change us. We don't see it. We don't become a doer. We merely become a hearer of God's word. James goes on to say, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. See, this believer who learns about themselves and understands what God is telling them as he looks, as he studies. I love this guy has his hand on the mirror. He's contemplating the word of God. What does that mean to me? I mean, and you don't have to be some deep thinking person to do that. You just got to say, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you showing me? This person looks into the scriptures with the intent of having their life changed. They look with the intent of changing their lives. Not just doing it just because it's something they're supposed to do so they can check it off their list. That's the first guy. This person looks intently and says, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do with this? It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer. The word of God will change you. I find new things in it all the time. It's amazing. Luke 11:28 says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. If you want to be blessed, be a doer of the word. The story of Shamagatal told about, when you talked about these people who are giving up everything they've got, but they're happy. Those are people who are being doers of the word. And they're blessed. Live according to the word of God. And we're not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if you do this for God, he's going to do this for you. We do this for God because we are supposed to do this for God. This is a reflection. This is a result. We're doers of the word as a result of the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. It should prompt us to do it. We've gotten off track. Because it is about freedom. John 8 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, if you walk with my word, if you live in my word, if you do my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Satan wants you to think that sin, the life of sin, is freedom. If I don't have to obey all those rules, isn't that freedom? No, that's bondage. It's bondage. So what does this all mean? In Psalm 1:1-3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. That last part, that is the key. That's why we are to be producing fruit. When somebody comes and talks to us about, talks about the fourth generation, the third generation, that's producing fruit. What he's meaning is this disciple led to that disciple, led to that disciple, led to that disciple. That's producing fruit. We need to allow God's word to change us, to form us into what we're supposed to be. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to know it. But most of all, we need to do it. If all of a sudden God gave you the cure for cancer, He gave to you what the one thing that could cure all cancer, and He showed it to you in such a way that you knew it, you believed it, okay, and you heard Him tell it to you, and you decided not to do anything with it. I mean, what kind of person are you if you would do that? I want to tell you something. There is a cancer in this world that there's only one thing that can take care of it, and that's the Word of God. Amen. And you know it. You've heard it. You believe it. Now you got to do it. You got to do what it says. So what is it? What do we have to do? Because Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What commandments are we supposed to keep? Well, we know we're supposed to keep the greatest, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. We're good to love God with everything you got. With abandon, you're supposed to love God. You're supposed to love God over everything, including your family. Love Him more. And then you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Man, I love myself quite a bit. That puts a pretty big thing above me that I have to do. But I need to love my neighbor as myself. Those two commandments, we have to keep them. You do those two commandments and you're going to make a difference in the world because people are going to notice because that's not what the world tells you to do. There's another commandment He tells us to do. It's called a commission. And that is to, as you go, to make disciples. And you know how you do that? You do that by doing the other two commandments. By loving God with everything you've got and by loving your neighbor as yourself. As we live our lives, as we become doers of the word, as we intentionally share our life with others, those that God has intentionally put into our lives. I've been talking about this for 3 weeks now, and you're going to get sick and tired of me saying this, but I'm going to keep saying it. God has placed people in your life that only you can reach. The problem is, you know, we don't see them. Or we see them, but we're too afraid to tell them, to talk to them. Neighbors, friends, family members. And I've said it before, we don't need to pound the gospel into them. We need to listen to them. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit as He talks to you and tells you, listen, you need to go tell them. Tell them what? You need to go tell them about me. Oh, really? Yeah? Don't worry. I'll give you the words. He's got the script all played out. Nobody's going to say anything that's going to surprise Him. We need to go and we need to go to those people who are in our lives that only we can reach, and we need to share with them life. We need to share with them love. We need to share with them Jesus. We need to share it. We need to do it. We need to be doers of the word. Our family, our friends, neighbors, coworkers, I ran the list, fellow students, those we encounter at the store, the gas station, the bank, the mall, wherever we are. It doesn't matter, wherever you are. And what are we to do? We're to listen to them. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He prompts us to speak the Word of God into their lives. And this will change your world. We saw what God is doing in India and Nepal and Sri Lanka. Do you think that the God that's doing that doesn't want to do the same thing here? He wants to do the same thing here. He's just waiting for us. He's waiting for us. It'll change our world, and you and I will be faith action heroes. Now, we're not going to have a cape. I'm not putting on any tights, I know that. But I want to be a faith action hero. I want to be a doer of the word. I'm going to teach you something. Real quick here. We're over just a little bit. That's okay. I want to teach you something. There'll come a time when you're talking to people, when you're in people's sphere, in their life, when you're standing at the fence talking to the neighbor, and they'll tell you, man, there's something. I'm missing something in my life, and I don't know what it is. And you'll say, I know what it is, brother or sister. I know what it is. And it's this man named Jesus. There's a very simple way you can explain it to them. And it goes ABC. Okay? It's ABC. First of all, you need to admit that you need Jesus. We all need a Savior. Every single one of us. None of us, there is no one here who can save themselves. You know that? Now, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care who you are. You cannot save yourself. We need to admit we need somebody. And God has provided the perfect person to save us, and that was in His Son, Jesus Christ. I need to admit I can't do it on my own. I need Him. That's A. Admit. B. I need to believe. We do need to believe. I need to believe that He is the only one who can save me and that I need Him. Okay? And thirdly, we need to accept. I need to accept that I need Him and that I need to repent. I need to change my life. It won't happen overnight. Some of us are still working on it. Some of us have been Christians for a long time and we're still working on changing our lives. That's okay. Every step we make away from our old life is a step closer to God. We need to admit, we need to believe, and we need to commit. We need to commit to it. We need to be doers of the word. I can't tell you how to do it every instance. I can't do it for you. But you can. You can do it. Things are changing my mind on how we're going to move forward as a church. I'm thinking of ways we can help you learn how to be doers. How to live within what we call our oikos. And I'll explain that sometime. Not right now, because some of you want to go to lunch today. And if we were a Haitian church, I'd have plenty of time, by the way. They go to like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But within your extended family, you have the ability to reach people for Christ. We just need to do it. We need to do the word. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We praise You for the work that You are doing through Keystone. And Father, I know in Your heart that is not the only area that You want the work to happen. And I know that there are other places it's happening a lot. But it seems, Father, that amongst us, amongst the United States, it's not as prevalent. But I know You are still God. You're still on Your throne. And Your word is still true. Help us to be doers of the word. Father, we need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to know it. But we also need to take action and be faith action heroes and do it. Help us. We can't do it on our own. On our own, we were scared. On our own, we couldn't talk to our neighbor about Jesus. But it's by Your power, by Your grace, that we are able to. Help us. Help us. We pray this in Your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.